Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scatter abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. So the Lord hath spoken this word. Welcome to the end times. Whether you know it or not, you're living in them. The Bible says so. You know, most people have no idea what the Bible says about yesterday, today, or tomorrow, because they never read or study it. They're too busy trying to make a living, too busy trying to get things they want, too busy when they're not doing that on Facebook or TikTok or Twitter, too busy watching television or Netflix. Or maybe you never went to church. You were never exposed to church life or to Christian life. You never heard any of the Bible. You don't know a thing about it. You're listening to this because you know in your heart something is wrong. You know, you can feel that something is about to happen, and you want to know what it is. You're hungry to find out what it is. Well, if that's the case, you're in the right place. Most of these people get what little they know about the Bible from remembrances of when they were kids and maybe went to church where their parents took them. Maybe they go to church every now and then. Maybe they're the ones that the preachers talk about. They show up on Easter and at Christmas. Maybe they go once a month. Maybe they go every Sunday. But they're basically just sitting there waiting for the preacher to finish so they can leave and go home and watch football or do whatever it is they want to do. They never listen to what the preacher's actually saying. Or maybe they do listen to what the preacher's saying, but they never test to see if the preacher's right. That is, when the preacher says something, is it really from the Bible? Is it really from God's word? Most of these people are going to be utterly shocked and devastated in the very near future when millions upon millions of people around the world simply disappear, because they're not going to know it and they're not going to see it. They're not going to hear the shout. They're not going to hear the trumpet, and they're not going to see these people disappear and be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But that's exactly what's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. You don't have to be a theologian or some Bible scholar to read the Bible and figure out that we're living in the end times. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Does that sound like the time that we're living in? Do you think people are lovers of their own selves? Can you go anywhere today? And I mean anywhere. On a boat, on an airplane, in a line, in a restaurant, at a concert, if we had those anymore. But can you go anywhere now where men, women, and children have their phones up videotaping themselves to post onto social media? Look what I'm doing. Look at me. Look at me. Look how pretty I am. Look how in shape I am. Covetous. People are trying. People will kill you for a dollar these days. They'll do anything for a dollar. And why are people videotaping and putting themselves all over these social media sites? Of course, it's because they love themselves, but it's also because they want what everybody else has. They want to make it look like they have what you have because they don't have it, and they want it badly. And then they brag about it. And then we have people who blaspheme God. They blaspheme people that believe in God. They blaspheme the name of Jesus, or people that believe in Jesus. And I don't think children of any generation have ever been more disobedient to parents. People are unthankful, and they're certainly unholy. Without natural affection. Listen, there is a branch called Progressive Christianity right now, and they're all over social media. And these people are teaching what itching ears want to hear. They're preaching that it's perfectly fine to be a homosexual, and homosexuality is not a sin. I even heard one the other day proclaim Jesus was a homosexual because he wasn't married. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That doesn't mean they can't wait to go to the bathroom, by the way. That means that they can't control themselves. Fierce. Have you ever seen angrier people than we see on the news about the smallest of things? This Karen complex that everybody has. These women who walk around and try to find things that make them angry, and then they get in people's face and just yell and scream and curse, and they despise people that are good. And the reason they do is because they're not, and they know it. They're simply lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and they deny God and the power of it. Now, does that describe the times we're living in to a T? I think it does. When I see some of the people that the world considers to be the smartest among us, who go on television, who do documentaries, and these things are presented as fact, that everything you see, this universe in all of its enormity, and we can't even comprehend with our human minds just how big the universe is, but they claim that this universe, in all of its enormity and complexity, and all the objects that are out there that are so beautiful and miraculous, most of which we don't understand. And by the way, most of these smart people, these astronomers and cosmologists, they change their opinions every few years about things. And then you look at the Earth, the complexity of life, the complexity of our atmosphere, the perfect distance from the sun, on and on and on and on. And then the complexity of things that we can't even see, the complexity of the giant things, the antimatter that they claim to know is there, but they can't find any evidence of it, but yet it takes up more space than matter does in the universe. And these people, out of their own mouth, after all the knowledge that they've acquired, claim all of this happened by itself, all because of gravity. But I've never heard once somebody follow up with the question, well, where did gravity come from? So yes, they deny God, even though the Apostle Paul says his glory is apparent in the creation that we see around us. I mean, when I look at the earth and all the beautiful things that are on the earth that were created, I can't imagine that somebody doesn't believe there is a God, but yet the people that the world considers the smartest deny his presence. So it's no wonder the world has digressed to this point. It's no wonder that we are where we are. And God knew that the world would get this way. It was prophesied. That's what those verses that I just read you from Timothy are all about. It's to tell you that we are near the end of times. That's why so many people are going to be shocked when there's a shout and a trumpet and so many people disappear in the rapture, when all believers are going to be taken to heaven to the bridal feast of the Lamb, where they're going to stay for 7 years. And if you get left behind here on earth for that 7 years, I really feel sorry for you. Doesn't mean that you can't be saved once that happens, by the way, but it'll be the worst 7 years ever. The things that God in his wrath are going to do to this earth, we can't even comprehend them. You're talking about incredible earthquakes constantly, tsunamis, volcanoes going off, pestilence and disease all across the earth. People have no idea how bad it's going to be. There's never been a time like it. Go back to the verses I read at the beginning of the podcast, Isaiah 24. Let me read another version. Look, the Lord will devastate the earth and destroy it, will twist its face and scatter its inhabitants. It'll be the same for everybody, it says. The earth will be devastated, totally devastated. It will be destroyed, completely destroyed, because the Lord has said it would be so. The earth dries up and wilts. The world withers and wilts. The heavens wither away from the earth. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have disobeyed instructions and swept aside law and have broken the ancient covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants dwindle. Very few are left. So during this time, this tribulation, it's going to be a time of unbelievable death on the earth. And most of these people are going to die unsaved and are going to be lost forever. It will be very difficult to survive, much less being saved during the seven-year period. Not impossible, but it can happen. But my question is, why would you want to do that? Can't you look around you and see that there is a creative mind at work here? If you can see that, then spend some time in the Word. We have so many great things available to us today that our parents and grandparents and the generations before us didn't have. Things like the Bible app that you can get for free. on your device and set a plan to read through the Bible. It's amazing. It'll guide you through a walk through the Bible, and you can finally begin to understand the story of God from creation to Him calling out a people through Father Abraham all the way through Moses and leading them out of Egypt and wandering in the wilderness and giving to them the land of Israel as their inheritance and settling in that land and the Israelis rejecting God over and over and over and over. But He was always compassionate and merciful when they turned and confessed their sin and came back to them. And He always promised that a Savior would come. And He did. Over 2,000 years ago, He came and He died on the cross for you and I, but God raised Him from the dead and He ascended to heaven where He sits at the right hand of the Father. Read your Bible and read that story, and you'll be reading a story of love like none other. Now, you got to be careful out there these days because there are so many progressive Christians out there. And the Bible warns us about these people. They preach what itching ears want to hear. If you're mired in some sort of sin that you enjoy, that you don't want to get out of, well, when you hear someone proclaim to you that that's perfectly fine, God understands or God doesn't condemn you for that sin, well, that's what you want to hear. That's what makes you happy. Whether you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, an adulterer, a fornicator, a homosexual, a thief, it doesn't matter. If somebody tells you that that's okay, you can still go to heaven without repenting. And by the way, repenting means admitting, confessing your sin, and turning away from it. Not saying, yeah, I did that, I'm sorry, and then continue to do it. It's turning away from it. That's repentance. But these preachers are all around us. They're on social media. They're on YouTube, they're on television, and they're preaching a gospel that's going to send you straight to hell. So I urge you to test everything they say. You got to be careful when you hear a preacher say something like, God told me. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen through the Holy Spirit, but you better test what God told him, because God will never, ever tell him anything that goes against the Word, because God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He'll never tell anybody anything via the Holy Spirit that doesn't line up with what He's taught in the Bible. So anytime you hear somebody say, God told me, and you got, it doesn't matter who it is, you have to watch and test them. I'll give an example. Recently, the guy that does the 700 Club, Pat Robertson. Pat's made a lot of prophecies over the years, and almost none of them have come to be. And the next day or the next week, he's got a reason, an excuse why it doesn't happen. Just before the election, Pat said that President Trump was going to win the election in a landslide. God had told him he's going to win in a landslide. And then after that, there's going to be terrible fighting in the streets and violence and protesting in the streets. And then the Lord's going to come back. Well, he was dead wrong. Trump didn't win by a landslide. I was hoping that he would win. Maybe you were hoping Biden. Doesn't matter what any of us hope for. The bottom line is God gives all authority in heaven and on earth. So Biden won the election. I'm perfectly fine with that because that's what God wanted. It's helping God to achieve His plans, and all His plans are always achieved. So whenever a preacher tells you, God told me, we're to test the prophets. Whenever somebody says that, he's making a prophecy. God told me blank is a prophecy. And the way you tell if they're true or not, does it actually happen? I wouldn't listen to Pat Robertson because he's got a terrible track record of prophecy. Or if you hear a preacher say, now I believe that, doesn't matter what he believes. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it's irrelevant. Always remember, I heard somebody, I think it was Francis Chan one time, I heard him say this. He said, when I read the Bible and there's something in there I disagree with, I have to assume I'm wrong. So whenever you hear a preacher say, I believe, without backing it up with any scripture, I have to almost always ignore it, depending upon, you know, what it is that they said. If he says something that he believes lines up with the Word of God, fine. But if it's just, I believe, if he says something like, I believe God is calling us to show up next Friday at 4 o'clock at the Dairy Queen and protest, I'd be very doubtful about it. The world is full of people who are trying to get attention. And this also goes for preachers. The world is full of false teachers saying what you want to hear. And they twist scripture and take it out of context like nobody. They're getting so good at that now, it gets confusing, I know. But if you will read the Word of God, and remember that scripture proves scripture. Normally, if you read something important in the Bible, you'll find it somewhere else in the Bible as well, almost always. So be very careful of progressive Christians. Progressive Christians like to say, oh, well, the culture was different back then, and things have changed, and things aren't that way. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whatever the Bible says was wrong 5,000 years ago is wrong today. Whatever the Bible said was wrong 3,000, 1,000, 2,000, it's wrong today. If adultery was wrong in the days of Moses, adultery is wrong today. If fornication was wrong in the days of Moses, it's wrong today. If stealing was wrong in the days of Jesus, it's wrong today. If homosexuality was wrong in the days of Jesus, it's wrong today. They never give me an example out of the Bible how it lines up with their faith, and I can't imagine they would even try to do that, but it just amazes me. The false teachers that are out there telling you what you want to hear. Doesn't matter what you want to hear, and it doesn't matter what they say. If it's not lining up with what the Bible teaches, it's wrong. And it will send you to hell. During these end times, I like to keep my eyes on one place in the world. It's not the United States. It's not New York. It's not Wall Street. It's not Vegas. It's not Europe. I like to keep my eyes on the center of the world, Israel, and in particular, Jerusalem. What's happening in Israel? And if you'll watch Israel, you'll know what's happening with the Lord God. Did you know right now that two of the most important, most respected rabbis in Israel have both said they have met the Messiah and that they will be introducing him to the world at large very soon. They both say they've been meeting with the Messiah, and one of them said just a couple of days ago that he's going to tell everybody who the Messiah is within a matter of days. Now, when that happens, you'll know that the Antichrist is here, because that ain't Jesus. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, just waiting on the Father to turn and say, go. I also read a story recently in one of the Israeli newspapers about Jewish mysticism and the fact that a rabbi centuries ago predicted how many leaders Israel would have before the Messiah comes, and that Netanyahu will be the last prime minister of Israel. Technically, right now, I think they have two prime ministers. They're sharing power. Now, I also heard something from Dr. John Barnett that I'd never heard before. I think he's one of the best teachers out there. You can find him on YouTube. I was watching him a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about a prophetic pope. I can't remember the pope's name at the minute, but it was a prophecy that this pope had given centuries ago. It was a prophecy that numbered how many popes there would be, and that if you looked at that number since he made the prophecy, there's only one more pope after the current pope. So friends, if you look around you, surely you can see that we are so close. We are in the last days when Jesus is going to come and rapture the church. Let me give you one more thing to look at and listen to. If you do study your Bible and you do study Bible prophecy and you look at the book of Daniel, Revelation, Ezekiel, which is where you find and Isaiah, where you find a lot of the prophetic announcements about the end of times, a lot of people wonder, where's the United States in all this? We tend to think that we're so important, the United States is so important because we're so strong militarily. But I think one thing that I've learned since COVID-19 hit, and by the way, this may sound cruel to you, and you may think, what in the world is, why would he say that? But I don't mean it that way at all. I have sympathy for anybody who's been sick or died during this COVID crisis or lost the job. But I, for one, am thankful for what COVID-19 did for me. And it's cost me a lot of money. I've lost a lot of my clients during this process, lost a lot of my income during this process. But I have gained a new appreciation for the Father. It has allowed me, when I had nothing else to do, to get very, very deep into the Word of God, and I thank the Father for that. It's made me a much better follower. it's made me much more knowledgeable about the Word of God, and I thank him for that. But I think we can all see, when we consider the might of the United States, the military might, we can see how God uses things like pestilence, which is what COVID-19 is. It's a pestilence. He can use it to bring any country or the whole world to its knees. Imagine if this virus were more severe than it is. Imagine if the infection rates were higher and everybody that got it died or nearly died. Imagine how that would devastate the country and the world. And right now, it only infects a small part of the population, and it's pretty much shut the economy down. So it doesn't take much for God to bring up a nation or bring down a nation. But I want you to consider something else. Why is the United States not mentioned in Bible prophecy at the end times when Israel is being attacked by Gog and Magog? Because after all, we are their number one ally. We give them all their military might. We give them the planes and the missiles and the bombs and the guns and other things they need, the anti-aircraft, the radar, etc. And we are pledged to defend Israel militarily should she ever be attacked. Right now, they're pretty strong on their own, but the whole world is going to come against them eventually, and God himself will defend them. But imagine this. These attacks on Israel are going to happen towards the end of the tribulation. And that's when Jesus will return to the earth and he'll live and rule and reign in Jerusalem. He will rule the world completely from Jerusalem. But imagine this. Imagine if the rapture happened today. Now, how many people are there in the world? 6.5-7 billion people? How many of those people do you think are believers, believing Christians? They've put their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be raptured with the church later today if the rapture happened today. How many do you think it is? Now, there are millions, billions who proclaim to be Christians, Catholics, Protestants, all the denominations. How many do you think will actually be raptured of the whole population of the world? Well, if it were, what's 10%? Of 7 billion, 700 million. I think there are a lot of people who claim to be believers, who claim to be Christians. They really aren't. Let's say it's 700 million. I think that's a big number, but the Bible doesn't tell us other than, you know, narrow is the gate. But let's say it's 700 million people. Now, as we look around the world, where will the greatest number of that 700 million people come from? Well, if you look around Europe, it's fairly godless. If you look around Russia, fairly godless. Look around China, definitely fairly godless. Look around India. Not godless, but they've got more gods than you can count. I would say there are more Christian believers in the United States than in any other country in the world. And I hope that means that more will be raptured from here than anywhere else. But how many people out of the 330 million that we have here do you think are going to be raptured? Wow. This is why when I look at it that way, I think about that 700 million number and I think it may be large. Do you think there'll be 50 million people who are true believers, converted Christians in the United States that get raptured? Let's say it's 75 million. If 50 to 75 million Christians disappear from the United States, what's going to happen? The entire system will collapse. The economy will collapse. The government will collapse because they won't be able to fix it. And this land, this country, America, will just be in chaos. They won't be in a position to help anybody or do anything. They'll be worried about solving their own problems, as every country will be. Now, the countries in which there isn't much belief in God anyway, they'll be scrambling to try to expand their territories, what they'll be doing. But I think that's why we don't see the United States mentioned in end days Bible prophecy. And let me say, that's a theory that is not in the Bible. Could be right, could be wrong. Don't know. So friends, I thank you for listening today. I just hope I've impressed upon you the need to come to Christ, to come to Jesus, because I just don't think there's much time left. I think the rapture could happen any second, and you don't want to be left behind to live through that 7 years of hell on earth that are coming. So if you don't know Jesus, if you're not saved, I want you to write down a couple of things. I want you to write down this for me, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians in a letter that he wrote to them. And there had been some people coming in after him who tried to tell the people that the gospel was incorrect, that they needed to do this or that. And he's writing this letter to remind them of what the gospel is, what they believed, and to hold firm to it. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." In other words, you heard it, you believed it, and you stand saved because of it. Second verse, "by which you're also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse number 3, "for I delivered unto you the first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And that's the gospel. I know that sounds simple, doesn't it? But that is the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and died for your sins, that he was buried and that God raised him on the third day, then you're saved. That is the gospel. Now, you can go get baptized after that. The scripture calls for baptism, but baptism is for you to put on Jesus, to bury the old man, raised in newness of life, and to tell the world that you've decided to follow Jesus. We can go over to Romans 10:9 and read something very similar. Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be the same. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. It's so simple. It really is. It's so simple to be saved. It's not easy to live the Christian life, I can tell you. As a person who spent much of my life deep in sin, I can tell you it's hard to learn to control your mind, and that's where the battle is. When you get to the point that, all right, I've gotten rid of all the big sin that was around me, and now I'm focused on keeping my mind right, renewing my mind, not after the pattern of this world. When you get to that point, that's the real battle, the battle for the mind, because that's when Satan really gets after you. And that's when you got to put on the whole armor of God, which you'll find in Ephesians 6. But you got to capture every thought, whether it's greedy, covetous, judgmental, on and on and on, lustful, on and on and on. Learning to control the mind is the real battle of Christian life. And I'm telling you, it's difficult. It's hard. It's hard, but it will be worth it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. So I urge you to get out your Bible, read those verses, read the whole chapter, and come to Jesus today before it's too late, because that rapture could happen at any time, any second, and we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye into that magnificent glorified body, which we'll have for eternity, forever. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.